Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I don't put this in the nightmare category. I mean, obviously, we don't want any player to get exposed. It's not a positive thing, but I don't see it as a nightmare. We built the protocols to allow us to continue to play. That's why we have the expanded rosters. That's why we have the pool of additional players. And we think we can keep people safe and continue to play.
Okay, you can think that, and you can put it whatever category you want. It doesn't change the facts, Commissioner, and it also doesn't change the fact that there are four more positives today, and they're going to have a difficult time filling out their roster. Here to talk about how baseball is dealing with all that is Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. The lead baseball columnist can be found on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra. He's also on the Alpamonte Ford hotline right now, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Craig.
Hello, how are you?
Good. You know, your morning updates are, they bring back some, it's a touchstone of baseball normalcy. I don't know if it is for you to put them together, but just sort of the going over, you know, as I, when I wake up and I look at my phone and it looks like the monolith from 2001, A Space Odyssey, in my head I hear thus sprock the Zarathustra. And I think, what fresh hell is this? And I doom scroll and I want to cry, and these recaps of actual baseball are a beacon of normalcy.
Well, that's why I kind of do them. I mean, obviously before the pandemic thing, I've been doing them for 13 years, and it's no matter what else is going on in your life, wake up in the morning, recap the night's games the night before, let's just reset your day. And I'm finding right now it's more important to my sense of mental health than usual. I just hope we still have games to recap going forward.
And we're getting the reaction from Cubs fans from, in large part, saying it felt good to scream at the TV watching Craig Kimbrell be that bad. That even though it was hard to live through in the moment, there is a sense that, oh yeah, I remember what that feels like to be mad at sports.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I was in real time on Twitter last night. I stayed up way too late. I'm watching people watch this game, which is a very odd thing to say, but social media addicts will understand that. And all the Cubs fans I'm following are just screaming and bitching about Kimbrel. And I'm like, this is just like last fall. It's fantastic.
why did Don Mattingly completely abdicate leadership responsibility when it came to just letting his team decide whether or not to play by text chat or group chat, and then not pushing some sort of a alarm button for people above him, either in his organization or in MLB? I don't know how that could have been allowed to happen the way it happened.
Because that's the design. My first impulse was to say, what are you thinking, Don Mattingly? Why are you letting your team play? Or what are you thinking, Miguel Rojas, the shortstop of the Marlins, who was credited as the team leader who made the decision on the group text that they should play? What are you guys thinking? But I take two steps back, and I think everything that's happened in this pandemic follows this pattern, right? We had complete lack of leadership at the federal level, and that has caused people down at the lower levels to try to make decisions, some of which have been good, some of which have been bad. And that inspires people to do dumb things like go to a party with 200 people or show up at a crowded bar. And your first impulse is to say, why are you idiots at the bar? But then you look up the line and you realize there's been zero leadership at all, and you kind of find it understandable. So with Major League Baseball, they put together a 113-page, they famously crow about this, 113-page, you know, manual about how they're going to deal with health. But nowhere in there was a protocol for if we have X number of positives, a game shouldn't be played. Or if certain players aren't available, a game shouldn't be played. They completely punted that. They abdicated it. Rob Manfred and the Players Association just decided to wing it. And so when you wing it from the leadership position, everything that goes on down the stream is going to be faulty.
Does it matter that this is the Marlins in the sense of, well, it's just the Marlins?
You know what? It's funny. That's my thinking right now is if this was the Yankees or the Cubs or the Dodgers and half the team was gone because of COVID stuff, I really wonder if we'd be having a different conversation, if we'd still be playing, you know, 13 games tonight or whatever they're going to be playing. And I go back to, there was no rule about this. There was no guidance about this, as I said a moment ago. But in an interview in early July, Rob Manfred said, quote, if we have a team or two that's really decimated with a number of people who's had the virus and can't play for any significant period of time, it could have a real impact on the competition, and we'd have to think very, very hard about what we're doing. He said that in an interview with Dan Patrick. We now have one team that is in that situation. They have been more than decimated. Decimated implies 10%. They have had a full half of their roster completely obliterated. You could take the approach that, say, Major League Soccer has taken and say, okay, Marlins, you now as a team are just sitting out. That's a plausible approach. I don't know that they'll do it, but Manfred's own words and everything that everyone around baseball has said about what competitive integrity means would be kind of thrown into question if you take the Marlins out of it, because then everybody in the East is playing a different schedule. Do you really have a season, even if we were already questioning whether a 60-game season matters? So there are some big, big questions that need to be answered right now. I don't think Rob Manfred has any answers for them.
I'm interested to see how baseball front offices are behaving in general in this 60-game season. We had Theo Epstein on last week, and he fully admitted that their organization is going against what they've preached for years when it comes to what is meaningful in evaluation and how they make decisions, sample sizes, and all of that. He said because they can't do it the way they have done it in the past. They just don't have the same information at their disposal. The Atlanta Braves DFA'd Mike Foltynewicz, who had been a standard in their rotation, and they just DFA'd him. That's where I am on the Kimbrel issue here, where I don't think you can do this. Regardless of what you paid him, regardless of what you thought at the time and where you were then, that the reality of now is such that You can't have him sort of try to keep knocking the rust off here when he was bad last year. He was bad in spring training. He was bad in summer camp. And he's bad now.
Yeah, that's the thing. That calculus has to completely change. Even if you go purely on the lower number of games, every game is now worth 2.7 games proportionately from a regular season. So imagine that Kimbrel has now blown, or you know, he didn't blow it last night. He almost did. You know, imagine Kimbrel has blown three games in a row. You know, we'd be having a different conversation about now what you do with the closer position. As for Foltynewicz and the Braves, I think there might be a little bit more going on there than just one really bad start. He was questionable as far as his velocity in spring, and then once summer camp came back, He had a good second half last year, but a very bad first half. And then this is another thing, and I just know this because I follow the Braves closely, and I'm pretty involved in, you know, the chatter about the Braves. He showed up to summer camp having lost a lot of weight, and people are saying that he doesn't seem healthy in ways that are beyond just his arm isn't good. I don't know what that means, and I'm not going to speculate, but if you even look at pictures from last night's start versus how he looked last fall against the Cardinals in the National League Division Series, he does look like he's lost weight, like he doesn't look well. There might be more going on there. I hope not, but there's a chance that there's more going on with him than a lot of people think.
How have you taken to the way baseball's being presented with the crowd noise, with no fans, with and getting over some of the weirdness and just understanding that this is how it's going to look?
I got used to it faster than I thought I would. I had baseball on all day on Friday when every team started, not just the Thursday night opening night. And I was watching some on TV. And, you know, it takes a little bit of getting used to on the visuals of it, I think. The empty park was kind of weird. But then in the evening when I started to, like, make dinner and I had to do stuff around the house, I put on the radio broadcast of the game. I was listening to the Braves game against the Mets. And the crowd noise in the radio version actually sounds completely natural and wonderful. I mean, I think you paint a picture with your brain listening to a game on the radio more than you do when you watch TV. And it almost felt perfectly normal. So you get used to it pretty quickly. If we can keep everybody healthy, I think we could all get on board with how baseball is going. It seems fine visually, and the players, for the most part, seem okay.
How are you criticizing managerial decisions in this compressed season? White Sox fans went crazy over the weekend when there was the traditional Yasmani Grandal regular catcher day off for day game after a night game, and criticism of every little lineup move. You know, Joe Maddon used to refer to these people as lineupistas because, you know, over the 162, the lineup really metrically only can mean the difference between one win. I don't know if it means more now, if it means less now, and how we should look at some of these decisions with every game counting for as a usual 2.7 games.
Well, I think we have to be very careful not to get too far into this is all so much more urgent now because of fewer games. Yes, that matters as far as math goes, but the math only goes so far. Yasmani Grandal's knees don't care that we're only playing 60 games this year. The day after a night game, it hurts a catcher. And when you put as much money into a guy that the White Sox did into Grandal, you still need to be careful with him. Same thing with other managerial decisions. I was talking to somebody recently about how the impulse for a lot of teams, especially teams with very forward-thinking front offices and managers who are really up on all kinds of analytics and make all those kind of decisions in conjunction with their baseball operations staff, you know, there's going to be this impulse to want to just manage the living hell out of every game, to yank pitchers quicker than we normally would, to do all kinds of strategic things that might only exist in the postseason. But I think that might not be the best thing necessarily in all cases, because you're going to put this weird sense of urgency on your players that I don't know is sustainable even only in a two-month season. I think of teams like the Indians with Terry Francona or the Astros with Dusty Baker, some older school managers who, however up they are on the analytics, are really well known for keeping a loose clubhouse, for keeping their players' brains in the game just as much as making the right moves and pulling the right levers. I think that's going to matter. There is so much stress right now, especially with the changes in routine, with illness, with the weird schedule. Anything a manager can do to calm his team down might give them an unexpected advantage.
It's going to be so hard to do. The stress, the overall stress of baseball life, of easygoing baseball life, it's just not there now. You don't have the clubhouse time. You don't have guys hanging out together, and you just have this heightened awareness and sort of a simmering fear that subsumes everything that's going on right now. You're a mentally healthy team. I mean, that is really something to strive for. We talked about it with Ian Happ on the Cubs. The Cubs do seem to have some awareness that there is a competitive advantage to mental health this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think David Ross might be a great guy for that, too. He's so he's not very far removed from being a player, that's still very much on the front of his mind, I'm sure, about how do I keep these guys loose? How do we keep everybody comfortable? And, you know, I don't know how you do it. And I certainly don't know how you do it if, you know, I'm not going to knock him or something, but if you're, I don't know, like Bob Melvin, or if you're, you know, a guy who's been in the business for a very long time, but you're more of a analytical kind of guy, I'm not sure how you necessarily do that. You have to do it quickly, though.
I noticed you're fighting this battle, as so many of us are, and that is hearing in response to, as we try to deal with the news of the moment, not even news of the day, but the news of the micro cycle that we deal with, and facts regarding COVID outbreaks and positive tests and likelihoods, et cetera, that we face a response of, you're rooting for the virus because you don't want sports, or you hate sports, or you want sports to go away. And the illogic fundamental to that argument, I genuinely don't understand how somebody can't have the bandwidth to know that while our livelihoods are connected to sports, we adore sports, it's why we do what we do, that we also have a responsibility to deal with what's true and talk about what's true.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous to me. I mean, I've been very critical of how Rob Manfred has handled a lot of the decisions bringing baseball back. I'm going to continue to be critical because I'm always critical of the institutions I care about. You have to be. I mean, I honestly, nothing against people there, but, you know, I don't really think too much about Uzbekistan, right? I don't talk about how I can make Uzbekistan a better country. I don't live there. It doesn't matter to me very much. I care about America. I care about baseball. I care about these things. You know, the opposite of love is indifference, not hate. If you are just letting something happen, even if you don't like the way it is going down, how much do you really care about that institution? I want Major League Baseball to be better. I want them to handle this smart because I want there to be a season. I want there to be a postseason. I want to watch the World Series. And if they make dumb decisions and no one is pushing back on those dumb decisions, that decreases the likelihood of that happening.
Talking to Craig Calcaterra on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. With this latest news, it does appear that baseball is determined no matter what to press on. And I keep getting the sense that once started, I don't know how extreme anything is going to have to be. I don't know how long we're going to keep testing the Phillies, because I'm just not sure about some of the timing here, about who was where and when we should start expecting to see positive tests. If in fact the Phillies, if anybody was infected through actual gameplay or through the argued negligence of Don Mattingly and the Marlins, of how bad it would have to get for baseball to say we're putting this on pause or this isn't working. I don't know.
I don't know that anybody really knows. I mean, it's going to be like it was in March, right? The decision was just made on this inflection point where in the space of, you know, 3 hours, you know, the Gobert from the Jazz and Tom Hanks all got, you know, COVID at once, and everybody's like, okay, wait, a lot's happening now, too much to process. Let's put the brakes on the world. You know, with baseball, I really do think that what we talked about, you know, the Marlins, it's the Marlins, we can deal with the Marlins. And, you know, the next inflection point is going to probably be something major. You're going to have another team altogether that we hadn't expected have a huge outbreak, or heaven forbid, somebody who has just tested positive, and we've come to accept testing positive as, oh, they're fine, they're just going to hang out until they test negative again. You know, maybe someone's going to get sick. You don't want that to happen, but I think it'll take something like that for them to put the brakes on this. At the moment, I think there's so much uncertainty about how long an incubation period is, how reliable tests are. There's so much misinformation and lack of understanding out there, understandable lack of understanding, that it's easy to just say, well, we'll press on because there's nothing, you know, completely overarching and authoritative telling us that we should stop. So it will probably take a crisis.
You've been talking about the leadership and what's happened, and I've been following your thoughts about Mike DeWine very, very closely, because 2 weeks from now we're dropping our daughter off as a freshman at Denison, and so I've been looking carefully at county by county and sort of what's going on there and how they're handling it. But he had it. Ohio was going great, and then it's like, oh, wait a second, I think I'm going to stop doing this right now. And it was making me absolutely crazy watching that happen, because I thought he did a great job until he just decided not to.
Yeah, there's a lot of Ohio politics going on, and that makes it weird. We're nowhere near as bad off as, say, Florida and Texas. We're nowhere near as good off as some other places. I could tell you, though, I happen to personally live right up the road from Denison. Like, I could ride my bike there if I wanted to. That part of the state is doing all right. You're okay in Licking County, Ohio.
And I will tell you this. The job that the president of that university, Adam Weinberg, what they have done has been amazing in the adherence to science, the communication with families and students. That is one impressive dude, and how they're obviously they've got a lot of resources there, and I can look for my first bill and I can see why they've got a lot of resources there. But
they also have a really good sports radio program. Their college radio station is I do appearances on it, and it's called The Doobie. Actually, I'm sure they came up with it in the 70s or something, but it's a pretty good outfit, dude.
Well, my daughter wouldn't know a football from a hockey stick, so I think that would be the absolute furthest thing from her mind, but maybe when my son's turn comes around, he'll take a look at it. Best of health to you, Craig, and keep supplying those recaps, because it makes us all feel a little bit better.
Thanks a lot.
That is Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports, and he's one of the best baseball minds out there. Must follow on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra. News of the day is football-related, and Ian Rappaport actually broke it on Twitter simultaneously as being on this show. Bears defensive tackle Eddie Goldman is going to opt out, and this is key, due to health concerns related to COVID-19. And I don't know what the specific underlying conditions might be that would put him in more danger, but it's understandable, especially for a lineman who is right there with nose-to-nose, a nose tackle head up on a center, breathing in clouds of other people's exhalations, that he has decided that this season is not for him. And I guess we'll learn about what cap relief might be a part of this for the Bears, if they could sign some free agent to come in, or do they move Akeem Hicks? Do they slide in John Jenkins? This is a major blow to the Bears for this year. We're talking about it and more. We have, when we come back, Tom Brenneman, the Reds broadcaster, did something that you know as a broadcaster you should never, ever do. But he did it. I want to play it for you next on The Score.
Hey, it's Parkins from the Mac and Parkins Show, and more of you are getting back in the car and driving to and from work. So remember, turn on The Score on your ride home for the Mac and Parkins Show, number one in the afternoons, 2 to 6. We're talking Cubs and Sox, Bears training camp, and more. Professional sports are going back to work along with you. So join us in your car on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. There's no league better suited for this return than the NHL. The fastest sport on ice has it all cooking like Sidney Crosby stick handling through defenders. The league has just announced it issued more than 4,200 tests to 800 players, so figure about 5 tests per player, and came back with 0 positive tests. And now they'll enter the bubble. In Canada! Talk about added security. This is like wearing a life jacket inside an inner tube in a kiddie pool. The U.S. is 15 times the infection rate of Canada. Not because we have a much larger population, that's per capita. So it's that much safer to be in Canada. They'll be in the bubble, and they already have 0 positives. They'll play in beautiful hockey palaces. Toronto and Edmonton have 2 of the best arenas in the league. Hockey is set up beautifully. This is Damon Amendolara.
Only Wendy's 2 for $5 has all the chicken you crave. Choose from the crispy homestyle chicken sandwich, delicious spicy chicken sandwich, classic crispy 10-piece nuggets, or the legendary spicy 10-piece nuggets. But let's be real. You're gonna get 20 spicy nugs for $5. I mean, that's what I would do. Enjoy a real deal with the Wendy's 2 for $5. We got you.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. A la carte only. Excludes made to crave.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today.
and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
It all starts with just one thing. Try some eco-friendly summer activities this year, like going for a walk or hike in local parks or hills, go bird watching, or even camping out in your own backyard. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Summer is here, and sometimes so are summer storms. Remember, Chicago's weather station is News Radio 105.9 FM. WBBM's meteorologists keep you prepared. Plus, live interactive radar at WBBMNewsRadio.com.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
Ryan's done a really good job at the communication part with myself, and really kind of now that we're going into our third year of trying to figure out, okay, where are we at? What do we need? How can we get better? And then once, you know, you get into that process, you start having, obviously, you're dealing with all different types of players. I think the word trust doesn't get used enough. And so when you have that trust for all these players, you understand not only what you're getting as that player, but as the person, too, that's helping build this culture that we've built in the last 2 years. Now, we've had from 2018 to go 12-4 to win the NFC North, and then to go to last year where there was more of a struggle, but we never wavered. Our guys stuck together. Is that good enough? No.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station. More Dan Bernstein on the way in 60 seconds on The Score.
Do you ever get annoyed by petty things? Does your head fill up with complaints throughout the day? Well, I have the solution for you. It's a podcast called Unhappy Hour with Matt Bellassai. That's me. Every Tuesday, we vent about all the things we love to hate with special guest complainers like Allison Williams, Liza Koshy, W. Kamau Bell, and so many more. Ready to listen? Go to the free radio.com app and search Unhappy Hour.
Side effects listening to Unhappy Hour include side-splitting laughter and extreme eye rolling.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
The tying and possible winning runs are in scoring position with two out and Jack Clark coming up. Meanwhile, in Reading was sort of talking about walking and pitch to that blank Van Slyke. That's what he just muttered in the dugout. Do I walk him and pitch to that so-and-so? He's not going to walk him. It is Jack Clark and Tom Niedenfuhr going head-to-head, and the ballgame on the line, and the crowd on its feet. One way or another, what a way to end. And he hits one to deep left field, and that one is gone. And Lasorda got the answer to his rhetorical question. Something about
Wow, does that do my heart good. Vin Scully on the call of the 1985 National League Championship Series, Game 6, October 16th. Jack Clark put the Cardinals up in the top of the ninth. Cardinals would go on to win that series and lose in the World Series to the Kansas City Royals. That was the George Brett year. And that was the year that that was the Joaquin Andujar World Series meltdown, and I believe the Don Dankinger famous call as well. So why are we playing that highlight from MLB.com? Why would we possibly be doing that? Well, that's because of something that happened on Saturday. And we have a rule in broadcasting. You know, what we do here is, you know, we I never know what's going to come out of my mouth next, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing. And sometimes you end up saying something or speculating about something that you probably shouldn't because you didn't get all the information. And in this day and age, there's really no excuse for it because we have the world's knowledge in our hand on our phone or at our computer or any number of screens that we have when we're doing a game or doing a radio show, that sometimes in casual conversation, right, you may say something like, didn't that guy get busted for child porn or something? And you put a name on it. You can't speculate like that. You have to be right. And I know you see producers scramble all the time when a talk show host will say something like, it's like, did that guy beat his wife? Like, and then you click, 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 click. It's like, okay, was there a story? What did he do? What did he do? It's like, yeah, okay. So you didn't just slander somebody. You didn't, you know, expose yourself to some potential legal action or endanger the license. So don't speculate about things if you're not sure. Well, we know that's the rule. I always think about that, try to remind myself. If it does pop into the back of my head, like, didn't that guy get in trouble for having sex with farm animals? You don't say it out loud. You don't speculate it out loud because it usually doesn't end well for you. That's your broadcasting advice for today. Well, that takes us to the bottom of the eighth inning, Saturday. There's one out, and the Reds are playing the Tigers, and former Cub Nicholas Castellanos comes up to bat, and this is what went down on Fox Sports Ohio, the voices of Tom Brenneman and Chris Welsh.
Nicholas Castellanos, the batter. Big hack on that first pitch and rolls it foul. One of three. Castellanos, a single into left field, is thrown out trying to steal second base in the sixth inning. One ball and one strike.
I'll tell you who Castellanos reminds me of a little bit, Tom. Not going way back, okay? Back to the 80s, maybe the 70s a little bit. Remember the right-handed slugger, Jack Clark?
Oh, of course. He was my next-door neighbor.
Well, I'll tell you what, he used to scare the daylights out of me.
He scared me, too.
I mean, he took a hack, and Castellanos reminds me a lot of the way he swings. Clark didn't quite wind up the same way, but pretty close.
He rented a house next door to me for about 5 months, 1 year out in Arizona, rode around on a motorcycle, Harley. And I'm going to tell you what.
I'm not surprised.
That big, strong dude now. Not all that tall, but he was power-packed. He just passed away recently, right? I thought I read that.
I think you might be right.
Boy, what a sweetheart of a guy. I mean, he looked like he was something right out of a motorcycle gang when he pulled up there that first time. I didn't recognize him. But what a really cool guy. I hope I'm wrong on that. I thought I had read that. 2-2 on Castellanos, and a high fly ball into straightaway center field to the wall, and running it down is Jacoby Jones. Just a bit short, deepest part of the yard.
A little bit on the end of the bat there, and Castellanos knows it in, hoping that it would be enough to get out of here.
You know what, Chris? Thank God I'm wrong. I thought I heard that. I'm confusing it with somebody else. And if anybody out there heard that, I owe you an apology. I thought I had read that, and so glad to hear that's not the case. Here's Akiyama.
He was my next door neighbor. I think he's dead.
He just passed away recently, right? But what a really cool guy.
That is so great. You can't, you don't just kind of guess. If you're talking about a guy on this baseball broadcast and he's he's not dead.
He just passed away recently, right?
You know, we've done it, you know, speculating about stuff like that, but it just, in the context of a baseball broadcast, it's just with the detail, too. It's like, yeah, he was my next door neighbor.
He rented a house next door to me for about 5 months.
Oh, that is so great. And also, he actually doesn't have a reputation of being a sweetheart of a guy. Around baseball back at the time, he was an interesting dude, right? He was a hell of a player, but if you just look at the sort of basic bio stuff from him, this is a detail. Jack Clark was driven into bankruptcy in 1992 by his appetite for luxury cars. According to his bankruptcy filing, he owned 18 luxury automobiles, including a $700,000 Ferrari and a Rolls Royce, trying to pay 17 car payments simultaneously.
I thought I read that.
He lost his $2.4 million home and his drag racing business because of his extravagant spending habits.
But what a really cool guy.
Oh, my God. That is, I don't know, it was just great. He passed away recently. Didn't I read that? Just check it.
So just glad to hear that's not the case.
Oh, that was the 864 says, Dan, you were always killing Y.A. Tittle all the time. Yeah, I think we did multiple times on the Boers and Bernstein show. We did assume Y.A. Tittle was dead. And then didn't we interview him? I think we had him on just to confirm that he was alive. And then he finally died. So eventually we were right. It just, you had to play the long game with that one. You had to just wait for it in that case. But that was a little bit of levity from the Tom Brenneman broadcast. And it's just,
if anybody out there heard that, I owe you an apology. I thought I had read that.
And a note from Rudy, who's been a longtime listener, says, all right, Bernstein, if any show is not allowed to complain about killing someone before they died, it's this one. You and Terry have killed hundreds of people over the years in the same way. Yeah, that's why I thought we'd have some fun with it.
You know what, Chris? Thank God I'm wrong.
I just love it. And the fact that it's in, you know, Brenneman's voice too, it just, you know, this like longtime authoritative baseball voice just makes it all that much more fun. If you are just tuning in, we've had some news today that has broken since the show began. One is in baseball that four more Marlins have tested positive for coronavirus, and they're going to figure out how to put their roster together. The game between the Phillies and the Yankees has, again today, that today's game has also been postponed as Phillies are still waiting for tests to come back. And as those tests have been rolling in, multiple outlets are reporting that there have been no positives yet. Also, locally, Bears defensive tackle Eddie Goldman is opting out of this season. The perhaps the most taken for granted part of a very strong defense that features such guys as Khalil Mack and now Robert Quinn and Eddie Jackson. He bedrocks a lot of that stuff, eating up double teams on the nose. And we will see if they're going to try to fill a roster spot with a street free agent, because sometimes those nose tackles who are out of work show up and they're 450 pounds and not ready to play. But you might be perusing that list of possibilities, or you move Akeem Hicks, or you promote from within and you move over Roy Robertson Harris or John Jenkins and you keep it moving with the next man up. Either way, a major blow to the Bears defense, a story that was broken by Ian Rappaport while he was on this very show. We have the Midday Midway coming up next, an update on what we discussed yesterday with the packets of mysterious seeds that are being mailed around, apparently from China. There may be an explanation that is something less than nefarious.
Nefarious. I thought I read that.
Well, we are going to read that. Also, how about chainsaw-wielding baboons and members of chainsaw-wielding baboons? That's coming up next, the Midday Midway on The Score.
But what a really cool guy.
Hey, Cubs fans. Pat Hughes here. Baseball is back, and so are the Cubs.
It's got a chance. Cubs win. Join Ron Coomer and me for all 60 action-packed games of this unprecedented 2020 season right here on 670 The Score.
A swing and a drive. Deep left center. It's got a chance. Cubs win.
It's been a long wait, Cubs fans, but it's time to play ball.
It's game on, Chicago, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Radio.com.
Geico.
Guys, you still see yourself as the young stud you once were. Problem is, others may not due to your thinning, patchy hair. Sure, you could wear a cap to cover up your receding hairline, but then why not wear a cap that regrows your hair? Capillus laser therapy caps are the hottest trendy way to regrow and rejuvenate thinning and receding hair. Capillus laser therapy caps are FDA cleared for hair regrowth and are clinically proven to produce thicker, healthier hair. No surgery, no smelly shampoos. All you have to do is wear the cap 6 minutes a day. That's it. Capillus is the preferred laser therapy brand of leading hair restoration surgeons. And we're so sure of our product, all Capillus laser devices can be returned up to 12 months after purchase. What's the matter? Don't think you can afford it? Think again. Capillus offers financing options to make laser hair regrowth affordable. And the first 100 people to purchase a Capillus cap will get $200 off. Visit Capillus.com to begin your hair regrowth. That's Capillus, Capillus.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Chicago Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy on his experience having COVID-19.
I got crushed and, did have to go to the hospital for a little bit of time to get checked up and do all the breathing treatments. And to be honest with you, just so people understand, it took me 30 days to test negative. 30 days. And going into a baseball season and understanding in the 60-game season what 30 days means, I mean, if it hadn't happened to me now, and I had the same effects and the same reaction to the virus, I would probably have missed the majority of the season.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. You're listening to the Dan Bernstein Show, back in 60 seconds on The Score.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
New York Times best-selling author Brené Brown has a brand new podcast, Unlocking Us, about the emotions and experiences that bring meaning and purpose to our lives.
Together, we can explore ideas, stories, experiences, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human.
Brené Brown's Unlocking Us. Listen on radio.com by searching Unlocking on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And I really cannot wait to have these conversations with you.
My name is Noah Feldman. I'm the host of a new podcast called Deep Background. I'm a Harvard Law professor and a Bloomberg columnist. I testified at the House impeachment hearings. So I both study the news and have, on occasion, even contributed to making it. In each episode of Deep Background, I interview an expert or a policymaker to explore the historical, scientific, legal, or cultural context behind the headlines. You can find Deep Background on radio.com or wherever you like to listen.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
It is time for the Midday Midway, which we do around this time on most days. And boy, we've had a lot going on so far in the show. And we started out by just talking about the reality that Craig Kimbrell's bad. And it isn't just rust. And I don't know what they're waiting for now to try to all of a sudden hope that he's not bad. But that's really apparently all this is hope, because nobody swung at his curveball. He threw 15 curveballs last night, nearly blew the game, had one of the, it was one of the all-time worst individual pitching performances in the history of baseball. We looked at the numbers on it. It's only the third time ever that a pitcher has recorded one out or fewer, has walked four or more, has hit a batter and thrown a wild pitch. It has only happened two other times, once in 1906 and the other time in 1950. So don't give me this stuff. His fastball looked electric and he's knocking rust off. They can't wait around on this. They've got to realize that this isn't working, and they need to come up with some kind of viable alternative, because if you're playing for something this season and you think this matters, you can't go there. Also, talked about John Lester's performance and how unique it is to see a power pitcher reduced to just kind of going on fumes here with whatever he has left, using his defense, not necessarily missing bats, but just trying to throw off timing and pitching five innings of scoreless baseball. Incredibly impressive on his part. Craig Calcaterra talked baseball with us, and we played the fun audio of Tom Brenneman on Fox Sports Ohio, just sort of blithely assuming Jack Clark was dead.
When he just passed away recently, right?
No, he really didn't.
If anybody out there heard that, I owe you an apology. I thought I had read that.
Here's an update on the story we did yesterday. I mentioned that people in Virginia and Utah were receiving packages with Chinese writing on them, apparently originating in China, that were just sort of cellophane packets of seeds. And we were wondering about what the intent is, about what it means. And I got a note from a friend who was one of those in the Virginia area who received a packet. And the seeds that he received looked almost like mustard seeds. And some of the pictures here that I'm seeing at the fact check site Snopes.com, which is always good to keep bookmarked in today's day and age, that they have pictures from the Washington State Department of Agriculture, because now more states are receiving these packets of seeds, apparently Kentucky and Washington. And these seeds look almost more like lemon seeds, much larger than the little tiny black dots that looked like mustard seeds. So they don't know if it is some kind of agricultural smuggling, or if these are invasives that they are hoping that people plant to somehow be disruptive. I guess one idea could be what is called a fake listing scam. U.S. News and World Report says that disreputable sellers on sites like Amazon will criminally buy their own products and ship it to a real address. Then the con artist writes a fake review purportedly from the buyer the product was shipped to, and it makes it look like a verified review. And Amazon has algorithms to automatically detect sellers that are doing this, but it relies on consumer awareness. They say what throws people off is the con artist will build up a couple months of legitimate sales to make their products appear reputable, and then people buy from the fake listings, and instead of receiving a product, the scammer has already made off with the money. So because these have return addresses in China, they think the motive might be this kind of scam, just to build up actual deliveries upon which they can then create fake reviews. So if it's that, it isn't quite as, it's nefarious, but not quite as nefarious as something I saw somebody speculate on Twitter, that because this is 2020, you put them in the ground and zombies come up. Here's something kind of cool. I saw this in the Chicago Sun-Times. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, drive-in movies have been making a comeback, and now a company says a floating cinema allowing people to watch from mini boats will be making appearances in a number of places around the country, including Chicago. The Australian production company Beyond Cinema said the Chicago run for floating boat cinema is scheduled for September 9th to the 13th. The exact location has not yet been announced, nor has the list of movies to be screened. The cinema is made up of 12 to 24 boats. Each holds up to 8 people. Tickets will require the entire boat be purchased to ensure the groups are seated with friends and family only, to allow for social distancing on and between boats. People can pre-register to learn the ticket on sale date and more information. Organizers say the movies will be a mix of golden oldies and new releases. Attendees will get free popcorn. Well, I mean, it's not free if you're paying for the boat. There are other movie snacks and drinks available for purchase before people embark on their boats. Floating Boat Cinema will be heading to Houston, Miami, Orlando, New York, Austin, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Columbus, and Cincinnati, and three cities in Canada. And there's pictures here, like an artist's rendering of Floating Boat Cinema, and it looks pretty cool. It's exactly what you think. These are small boats with canopies on them. It looks like, you know, convertible, perhaps, if you want, and people are sitting outside, floating, looking at a screen. I might, depending on it, how, I don't know how the boats are going to stay anchored, or how they, I don't know how they're going to be kept apart, how they're, like I say, are they anchored to the bottom, or are they constantly self-correcting to stay away from other boats if they're not drifting in the breeze? I would be interested to see how this works. I might have a little seasickness issue too if I'm trying to keep my eyes on a fixed screen, but please tell me they at least have the sensibility to show Jaws. You gotta show Jaws. So everybody can make the "we're going to need a bigger boat" joke, and just, you know, maybe have something thump underneath the boat at certain times. You know, make it a fully immersive experience. But you could, there's all sorts of things you could do. Like, you know, a perfect storm might work, Poseidon Adventure. But I think that would be fascinating. I'm just very interested to hear how they're going to make sure that, I don't know, you get in and then you pilot it out there, or are they already fixed and anchored and then people are ferried out there or dinghied out there one way or another? Pretty cool idea.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
This is from Yahoo News. Baboons at a popular safari park have been spotted with knives, screwdrivers, and even a chainsaw, according to reports. The primates at Knowsley Safari Park in Merseyside. And I don't know. I assume, is this South Africa? I would assume. Oh, no, it's in England, near Liverpool. And the primates are already known for their destructive abilities and have been pictured previously pulling things from visitors' cars. Meanwhile, you don't mess with baboons. Baboons will rip your face off. They are the right combination of smart and curious and mean and have opposable thumbs and those weird-looking butts. But staff are concerned the baboons are being given weapons, they say, for a laugh, haha, by parkgoers. One worker said, "We're not sure if they're being given weapons by some of the guests who want to see them attack cars, or if they're fishing them out of pickup trucks and vans." The worker said the animals sometimes go into people's toolboxes to grab what they can, adding one of the baboons was seen lugging around a chainsaw. Another said some had been found with knives and screwdrivers. They're already known for causing damage to vehicles. One mechanic told the Sunday Times that they had repaired cars that left damaged by the primates. The safari park is home to animals including lions, tigers, and rhinos. It reopened on June 15th. Its website includes reassurance that its measures make it COVID secure are in place, reminding guests, if you take a drive through our baboon jungle, we're unable to return any car parts that our cheeky baboons may take. They have a more car-friendly route through the park that doesn't expose you to the baboons that are carrying knives and chainsaws. What in God's name is going on here? Because there's a picture, and there's got to be 20 baboons on top of a compact car. Two of them are in the rooftop container. I don't know what you call it, that little cargo hold on top, the aerodynamic cargo hold. They've opened it, and two are sitting in it. And there are adults and babies surrounding the car. They've ripped off the side view mirror. They pulled everything out of that cargo hold and are strewing it everywhere. That is, I don't know, why would you want that? I don't know that that's something that you're going to say, hey, what? Here's what we're going to do today. Well, that's like, I mean, I understand that the people that drive through Yellowstone and they don't necessarily know what they're getting into, and there's bear that are coming up to cars and buffalo that are coming up, and I don't know, wolves and coyotes and the whole thing. My suggestion is generally, like, drive away from them. Shark attack in Maine. I don't know if this is going to start now, but are we getting to the shark attack portion of our summer as people are getting back on the beaches? They believe that a woman was killed by a shark attack off of Maine, and I'm assuming it was a great white shark. They say that it's the first time there's been a shark attack off Maine, the coast of Maine, since a porbeagle shark attacked somebody, which is a cousin of a great white. I believe, if I go back to my shark knowledge as a kid, that a porbeagle is also a mackerel shark, so it's not a carcharonid, not a ground shark, so it doesn't have the nictitating membrane on its eye. And
I thought I read that.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's a laminiform or mackerel shark, but they believe this was a great white. And you know how this happens, that we get the first one, and then we get the usual ones off of Australia, and then amid COVID, it's going to be summer of the shark, and this is when it's going to happen, because people are going to cherry pick things, because anytime it happens, it has to be part of some sort of pattern, and then it's going to be part of a conspiracy theory that involves cannibalism and pedophilia, because that's how things work.
I still love sharks. Sharks are beautiful.
Well, that's right. That was that. She. What? Did she get her foot bitten off or something? And she had to make sure that as she's being wheeled out of the medevac helicopter to go have her life saved, she just said she still loves sharks because she studies them and wasn't mad. And I give her credit because she knows that it's nothing against her. They weren't mad at her for studying them. They just wanted to bite her foot off. We've talked a lot of Chicago Cubs today because there was news. And if you turned off the television last night, if you turned off the marquee network with the Cubs out to that comfortable lead and didn't watch the harrowing end of that game, you probably saved yourself from taking years off your life, because having to bring in Jeremy Jeffress at the end, and he's only throwing like 93. You know, he had before been sitting 95, 96, and he's not humping it up there the way he's been throwing it either, but he was able to get the final out to rescue this game from a horrible, horrible performance by Craig Kimbrell. And we had discussed that. We had discussed the fact that Kimbrell was awful and that John Lester was really good, that they've had a turn through the rotation where they're going strong on a couple of fronts here. Kyle Hendricks, Player of the Week. How about that? Did you see that yesterday? Kyle Hendricks named NL Player of the Week, and you know who he supplanted. He supplanted Ian Happ, who will be the longest ever reigning National League Player of the Week. Nobody will ever have that title longer than our friend Ian Happ, who is going to join us Thursday at 9:30. But Sahadev Sharma wrote about the season amidst COVID, wrote about what was happening last night, and he's going to join us in just a couple minutes. After that, we're going to talk to David Roth. We've got a brand new website. The Deadspin people are putting the band back together with a new business venture, a new site called Defector. It's at defector.com, and one of the founders, David Roth, is going to tell us all about it. It's a major sports media story. That's coming up at 11:20. But first, some Cubs talk. Also, the news today, if you are just joining us, Eddie Goldman, Bears nose tackle, opting out of this season for health reasons, throwing the Bears front seven into a bit of chaos here. So keeping you updated on all of it here on the Dan Bernstein Show on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, Chicago's most listened to afternoon sports radio show, covering all of Chicago's teams, from the daily wins and losses to the biggest moments in Chicago sports history. Listen in your car, on your ride home from work, or from your smart speaker on the radio.com app at home. Mac and Parkins, Chicago's most listened to afternoon sports radio show, 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
The final 22 teams have made their way down to Orlando, and they're ready to get back out on the court. While the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook, the top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is giving all users a special odds boost for the first 3 days of the season. Bet $20 to win $100 on any team of your choosing. Taking advantage of this slam dunk offer is easy. All you have to do is sign up and navigate to the promotions tab within the app. Don't stress if you weren't able to get your bets in before tip-off, because DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook has you covered, live betting on all games. If basketball isn't your game, DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook offers great odds and promotions on all sports, from MMA to baseball. DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is U.S.-based. That makes it safe, secure, and reliable, and it's easy to deposit and withdraw your funds whenever you want. Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app. Use code Chicago when you sign up, and for a limited time all users can get a special odds boost. You bet $20, you can win $100 on a team of your choosing. That's code Chicago to boost your odds to $20 to win $100 only at DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy, tastes good.
Guys, you still see